Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today is Kirti Atrogi. Kirti, please tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living.
So I'm in India currently right now. To be very specific, I'm in Bangalore. I'm a co-founder of a D2C, which is the verb we use in India, direct to commerce or direct to consumer, of a feminine hygiene brand where we are trying to build and create the category of reusable period underwear in India, followed by Southeast Asia as a market predominant.
Amazing. So can you tell us a little bit more about kind of your background and what led you up to creating this brand? Like, what problem did you see out there in the market that led you to creating this this product and brand?
Yeah, so before starting the brand, specifically in 2019, I was working with Amazon, Amazon India, Amazon World, right? And then I've seen how the brands have grown across the countries, across the demographics, right? And the one of the traits which I've seen is that any good brand solving a bigger problem in their demographic with the best product and the best price or best the marketing strategy has grown very fast and very in a very different direction, right? And now a consumer in India with access of internet, they are ready to try different products. They are ready to uplift their life cycle and the status quo. And I think if you're trying to solve a very niche problem or very specific problem with a good product, there's always a chance to build a brand upon it. I've seen this use case in India specifically where the women, 99% of the women are still using sanitary pads. They're hesitant to use the menstrual cup while there a lot of adoption has been done to a lot of brand, but I think there's always a third world where people don't want to use sanitary pad or the menstrual cup. They don't want, they just want to be as a normal underwear, right? And what we have seen in the western part of the globe where things of the world or Modi Modi of the world, specifically things has done a great work in the US, right? But Indian context, no brand was there or the brand which was selling in the market were having not the right product or the great product. So we have seen a gap where we can launch a product where the product is good, even though we have started with a very high premium price to test the water of the market. And slowly what we have seen is people are okay to adopt the product. Obviously, it's a long journey. We are just 4-year-old brand, 4-year young brand, I would say. And then the category which we are in is already 40, 50 years old, where the brand which is established in the market, both in marketing and distribution, we are trying to be there, right? So by offering a good product. So that's how the journey started in 2020. We launched the product and currently we are doing good in the market.
That's awesome. So, and I see on the website you sell on a few different marketplaces online. What's kind of the breakdown between, how much business you're doing through Amazon or some of these other marketplaces versus how much you're doing direct to consumer straight from the website?
Yeah, so our predominant market is India, right? So we sell 97% of my sales come from India only. And then currently we are just active in Dubai or the UAE market, right? And which is around 2-3%. And those 2-3%, 100% comes from Amazon UAE, right? Out of 97%, my direct to website or the D2C website gives almost 50% of the market share, right? So you can say almost 48-49% of my entire business comes from my own website, and then the rest of the 47-48% comes from different marketplaces, Amazon, Flipkart, and then there are a few other marketplaces. But if you compare only the marketplaces, I think Amazon is the biggest market contributor as of now, after our own D2C website.
That's awesome. So what kind of channels do you employ for your online marketing? Are you doing anything like more traditionally with just digital ads on Google and Facebook and Meta and things like that? Or do you have a big social media presence? What is your general like kind of go-to-market strategy, to drive more direct-to-consumer versus, what you're doing through the obviously Amazon ads and, optimizing your Amazon sales is one thing, but curious how you've been able to sustain such a high percentage of selling direct right from the website through your marketing.
So we have taken a very different route when we started because the demand was not created. The people are not searching in the Google, right? So if your chances of building a brand becomes easier if there's already a demand created in Google or YouTube or Meta, right? So while we are a category which is still being created, for the first couple of years, we only relied on Amazon ads. And then my 80% of my marketing spend went to Amazon ads. So first 1 year, we just did 90% of Amazon ads, 10% of the social media marketing. And gradually, currently, we spend only 0.7% on Amazon ads. So you can say it's nil, right? So the entire sale is organic sales driven through the social media marketing, right? So my 60% of the marketing is driven on category creation and building awareness through influencer marketing, through SEO, right? And then 40% of the marketing is split between Meta and Google ads, right? Which is driving the sales funnel. So there is one funnel of awareness, then one funnel of conversion. So what we have seen is if my awareness is good, my conversion is also good. And that's how the entire market is done for us. And also what we are seeing is there are a lot of brands coming to the market as of now. So of lately, what we have seen is in last 18-20 months, there are a lot of brands who came to this segment and they are also trying to push the market to be bigger, right? So it always helps.
Yeah, so you kind of take other players coming into this kind of product niche as actually helpful because you're kind of creating more overall demand where it wasn't really there before, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting because obviously, as you know, it's a little different than some other spaces where if you're selling something that's more like a commodity that already largely exists and there's a ton of demand, you're trying to carve out.
We're trying to build, make it more of a commodity. What we believe is the next 7 to 10 years down the line, it will be commodity. What we are seeing in last 4 to 6 months that it is getting more towards the commodity, right? So obviously, what we are trying to build against, we are not saying against, is the sanitary pad or of the world, which have taken 30, 40, 50 years of marketing to be where they are right now. So versus what we are seeing is that the market might not be as big as sanitary pad, but what we are assuming is that market will be 7 to 10% of a market share will be done by the period of entry alone in India specifically. I think one of the major attributes of the category being successful is how well the product works. And second is, can the product be a massive product, right? So if you see globally, any product being built as a commodity is for two reasons. One, the GDP per capita or the people expenditure is increasing and people having the affordability to buy the product, which is mass of the people in India or globally want to buy the iPhone it's not because the iPhone has become less expensive. It's become people's affordability to buy has increased. And secondly, is the product really well, right? So there are two things. So one thing is uncontrollable. We cannot control the things is that how people's affordability will increase. But what we can do as a brand is make the product well and how affordable we can make it. So just to give you some numbers, when we started selling at $15 a pair, right? Or not a pair, a piece, right? And currently we are selling somewhere close to $6. In 4 years, we came from $15 to $6, right? And what we aspire to be is that we want to sell, and it's not even $6. And if you buy it a bulk, the price will be $3 to $4, right? So we want to sell somewhere close to $3, $2, right? So it becomes affordable for the masses, right? So, and once the product becomes mass friendly, then the real trajectory starts.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how were you able to take it from, you know, going from having to sell it for $15 a piece to, you know, getting it down to almost $5? What did you employ to, you know, make that happen?
Yeah, I think a lot of know-how has been built upon the product, right? So when we started with obviously from the China of the world, right? And last 2 years, we have spent a lot of time, energy to understand how can we build the supply chain in India, right? So, and thankfully, the government has also been appreciating Make in India and all the stuff, right? So if you go to any part of the country, the government is pushing that you should build in India. They will give a lot of subsidy, right? So we have started our own manufacturing and we are proud to say that anyone making the period underwear in the world, we are making at the best price, at the best quality, right? So be it things, be it any brand in the world. So they are not making for themselves. We are making for ourselves. So I think that is a bold step we have taken and we want to serve the globe from India.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love to hear that. And I know you kind of reached out, you said into more Southeast Asia and even into UAE. How do you imagine, you know, how do you project that growing throughout the rest of 2024 as far as your market share goes? I know you said it's about 3-4% now. So, how much more do you picture that growing?
We have been growing almost 3x to 4x every year, right? So only in India. We have not tried marketing our product across the country. We have been listed only the product in Amazon UAE. There is no sales. Basically, there is no marketing spend, and whatever the sales is coming in is basically byproduct of what we are marketing in India. But in 2024, we are taking a step where, because we have the supply chain, we have the control of the price, we can make sure that we can control the price at our own end. We are targeting countries like Malaysia, Indonesia, UAE, which is a great fit for the product demographically, right? So the large consumer base, and we can go and build the market. Also US, right? So US, if you see the average period under price is $12, right? So, and the market is already at a very bigger scale. People know what is period underwear is. Where in India, I have to make people aware what is period underwear is, how to use it, how to wash it. Where in USA or UK for the fact, which is, or Australia for the fact, which is the three larger round of period underwear, people know what period underwear is, right? So where if I, and they are buying from Sri Lanka or China, where I'm making for myself, I can go and place the bet on at $6, $5, right? So, and I can give them the price benefit of making in India and selling out there. So this is where the plan is. So maybe this quarter we'll try to move to Malaysia and Indonesia. Next quarter we are planning to launch in US and UK, followed by other parts of the globe.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, for sure. I think most people around the world are, you know, kind of solution aware to this, and that it exists and that it's a viable option. That's definitely true. And I'm curious, like, have you considered going down like the wholesale retail route? I know you do, like, I guess Amazon and maybe some of the other marketplaces like can kind of be considered wholesale. Sometimes in a way, but have you considered, or do you already have retail deals anywhere? Or
no, we don't have retail. So to be very honest, me and my team don't have any good experience in wholesale, right? So we are not from the wholesale or the retail background. And I think building a brand in retail and wholesale takes a lot of different attributes and skill set to be there, right? So negotiating, planning and all. I think what my team expertise is building the brand over internet, building a brand on Amazon or website, right? But as we go down the path of making the brand bigger, I think we all always know that we need to go to wholesale or retail, right? So because any brand will only be big if you are as close to your consumer, right? So India was such a highly divided country when it comes to shopping. There are a lot of people who love to shop on e-commerce, but there are a lot of people who still want to go out and do it touch basis, right? So we want to be there. I think we have taken a step to understand where can we do the pilot. We will take one demographic, whether it's Southern India or whether Eastern India, try to learn and try to do some mistakes, obviously, by launching. And then next year, next financial year, we'll be hopefully in more retail places in India specifically.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's say one question I always like to ask everybody that comes on the podcast. So you say the company's about 4 years young, so surely obviously you've learned a lot during that time. You know, if you could go back to the first days of the brand where you really just first took it from an idea to actually, you know, selling the first product, you know, if you go back and give yourself one piece of advice, what do you think that piece of advice would be if you could give yourself that back then?
I think a lot of advice, right? I think not one piece of advice. I think there are a lot of advice and a lot of things when I look back, and I think we didn't knew, and it could have helped if we knew, right? So one thing is that I can always, so the branding is such a good exercise that any brand cannot say that they are still in the mind of the people, right? I think we could have, so the logo which you are seeing currently right now is not the logo which what we started off, right? So I think we took almost 2.5 years to understand the logo which we are selling, or the brand logo is not getting into people's mind. I think design aspect, brand creativity aspect is something I have learned, or we have learned in 4 years, and that is something I'll take it back if I start any brand today, right? And I say, okay, you need to work on your logo or your brand with a brand name, right? My brand name can be shorter, right? It can be 4 to 5 words, right? So these are things I would take back and say, if any new entrepreneur is coming, I would say try to make it under 5 letters, right? Try to make it more nuance based, right? So that is something as a learning I'm taking back. But now I think people started talking about us, like people are writing in Google, so you can understand if people are writing about HealthFab or not, because it shows in your ad library, right? How many people are writing, how many people are searching. So I think now would be in a good space and we can build upon it.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's awesome. And I think that is really good advice for, I think we have a lot of entrepreneur listeners on the podcast. So I think that is good advice for anybody looking to start something new, like maybe in this kind of space or even not. I think it's good advice either way. That's awesome, man. So I also just want to give you a quick opportunity to just be able to shout out the website, where people can find you if somebody listens to the podcast and maybe is interested from the US or maybe somewhere where you're not currently selling, but I know you plan to be maybe, you know, a few months from now. So let people know how they can stay in touch with the brand. And
So we have own website, healthfab.in, right? So I think maybe you can keep the link in the podcast or somewhere, right?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I can write it down here, right? So we are pretty much available in healthfab.in. And then we have our Insta page, healthfab.in again. So we are available. Anyone can write to us through that thing. And then we will reply hopefully next couple of years, like hours, right? So that is how we try to reply faster to anyone writing to us.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, Kirti, I just want to say thank you for coming on. I really appreciate all the insights. I think this is a really exciting space, and I think there's a ton of room for growth for you. So I just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kirti. Thanks, everybody.